Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, folks. We are so excited to be on the air with you today. It's another gorgeous day in Southern California. No hurricanes. Actually, the hurricane that hit was supposed to hit right here didn't. So it was like no hurricane here. Anyway, I am so excited about who you are going to be listening to today. She was one of my very first interviews years ago when she was starting Bridge of Hope, which is her ministry that she still runs. But today we're going to be talking about Relentless Pursuit, which is the title of a wonderful book she's written, and her experience going to the revival at Asbury. So I'm thrilled to invite Sherry Briggs. Are you with us, Sherry?
Yes. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. So glad to have you here. And before we dive in, I want to read a couple of scripture passages, which I like to call fast food, so that people get a little fast food from the Lord today. This is Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. Oh, this is going to make me cry. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone, not even trip. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful passage. The next one is Jeremiah 29:11. This is another one that makes me want to cry. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Thank you, Jesus, for these words. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, Sherry, now, I've read your book, and I could not put it down. I could not put it down. It was so true and so honest. I just loved it. What prompted you to write the book, first of all? And then secondly, how were you guided through that path?
Well, thank you so much, Sheila, for reading it and for enjoying it and sharing that. I just knew that God wanted me to write the story. I didn't ever consider myself a writer. I'm a journaler. I love to read, but it was just something that I knew I was supposed to do because it's his story. It's really a testimony of God's faithfulness. And writing the book, you know, initially I thought, oh, I just want to write about all the fun, good, glorious, miraculous things that God has done, really, that I've been able to witness him doing in the ministry that we do, Bridge of Hope San Diego. But once I started writing, and obviously there was many twists and turns in the last 10 years when I started writing the book, things began to change and God began to really impress on my heart. I needed to tell the whole story. You know, there was things I had never told a soul I wrote in that book. And I didn't plan on writing. I didn't even know I had, you know, shame around some of those topics and things in my early childhood and my upbringing in the cult and things. But God really wanted me to write the whole story because it's just a story about how he takes us out of the miry clay and puts our feet on a rock. And there's nothing too far removed from him, and there's nothing that he can't do. And he does take the weak and foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And so the whole story just began to unfold, and I began to get very honest in my writing and peeling back layers of shame and embarrassment and things that I thought really they weren't my fault. They were things that happened in my childhood that really were important to the whole story because it's a redemption story. So that was the process.
The whole shame concept is one of the big tools of the enemy because it makes you feel bad about who you are. And it has nothing to do with who you are. It usually is the behavior of another person that they've sort of unloaded on you. And
I
appreciate that.
Writing that book, I began to get free, actually. It was very therapeutic for me to start recognizing, hey, wait a minute. I was just a child here, you know, and so now even, you know, the story turns to where God took what was evil in my life and what Satan meant for evil, and he turned it for good. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful that I wrote the book and he gave me the grace to do it.
Yes. Yes, well, he sure did. You know what I love about the way you organized it is you start every chapter with the names of God.
Mm-hmm.
And our audience doesn't know this, but I've known you since before you were married. And you did a Bible study one time that I attended on the names of God. And I can remember how that impacted me, that there are so many facets to God that we don't think about. And you bring that right out in the title of every chapter.
Yeah, that was huge. So when I had come out of the cult when I was younger and just starting my journey to really surrender to Christ, he told me, you know, you need to go back and find out who I am, what is my character, my nature, and my attributes, because I didn't know. And that was the hugest, most profound foundation of my faith today, is just knowing who he is and who, you know. So that's where all those names were revealed in each chapter. He demonstrated that name to me in each chapter, where this is who I am in this chapter, this is what I did, this is, you know, my name is true. And so I didn't know initially how I was going to fit the names into the book, and then it just came to me like, yep, this is the beginning of every chapter declaring who his name is.
Mm-hmm.
That overshadows that part of the story. Yeah.
Very, yeah, I just love
very
that.
Meaningful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well,
yeah,
now,
thank you very much.
Yeah. Was it hard to write this when I see how deep you go with some of the areas, it seemed like it would be very hard to go there and to write about it.
Yeah. I mean, there was parts that were really hard to write about, especially my son dying. I had to literally go away for a week to be alone in the mountains to tackle that topic. I knew it was going to be very hard for me. And that chapter on the, you know, his passing and then the life after loss were just really hard. And a matter of fact, after I wrote them, I don't think I even I didn't look at those two chapters again for another couple of years.
Yeah, I can believe that.
I couldn't. Yeah, it was too hard to relive that. So, yeah, that was probably the hardest part to write, but it's raw. It still is so raw just to even look at that part of my book. Yeah.
What I loved about it was you wove in and out of each chapter the miracles that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share some of those?
Yeah, boy, we've had so many miracles, you know, and so many answers, prayers. And, you know, the whole book, that's why it's like a testimony of God's faithfulness. And some of the miracles were so miraculous, like in an instant, you know, our whole family being caught in the air, basically after getting in a car crash, all flying out of the car, landing on the concrete, flying 50 feet, surviving, you know, radical parting of the Red Sea miracles that just, I mean, there's no doubt that the host of heaven was surrounding us. And then there's miracles where we wait and pray and contend and just stay in the waiting place of trusting God on his promise. Those miracles, you know. And then miracles where we were in crisis, you know, where there was, you know, have a ministry, we're caring for the poor, and we have to pray and wait on God for every penny that comes into the ministry and things happening, money coming in at the last minute. You know, George Mueller is my mentor. He's the father of orphans in the 1800s, and early on God had asked us to run our ministry with the way George did, is to pray and wait for every penny. And so those are miracles, and when they come in, you know, you just don't know. You wait and wait. So the book is full of these testings and trials, and then just even the passing of my son, you know, the miracle of God's intervention in my heart, you know, mm-hmm. to catch me and to put me back on solid ground, you know, mm-hmm. to reveal himself to me, to where I can continue to live and now help others with their grief. That's a miracle. So, yeah, God is a God of miracles, and they just look different all the time, right?
They are different. It always makes me smile because it seems like he's a last-minute guy.
Yeah.
You pray for stuff, and you're praying and praying and praying, and you go, okay, well, if it doesn't happen now, I don't know what I'm going to do. And
exactly.
There's always this last, and I don't know whether he has a sense of humor or he's testing us or what it is, but I just, now it's just like he's the last minute guy. And you just sort of have to start praying, and you know that might be part of the story.
Exactly. Yes. I think he's all those things, has a sense of humor and likes to test us and build us up in our, you know, it says building us up in a most holy faith, you know. Unfortunately, some of the faith building times come from those times of hard, you know, some suffering, some waiting, some, you know, it's a combination.
Yeah. All around it sometimes doesn't feel great until the answer comes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, maybe you can share with us just a little bit about the revival at Asbury that you attended, and getting to go there was a miracle all on its own.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, man, when I heard that was going on, something in me just said, go. And people are kind of chicken over on this side saying, you're really going? I'm like, I am going. And I didn't know how I was going to go, but it was a last-minute thing. My ticket was provided for me. People just I had somebody put money in an envelope in my mailbox, said, this is the revival fund for you, Sherry. I want you to go.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
It was incredible. I know. And so I got there. And it was interesting to me, the experience of being in the cold, being out there at Asbury. It was cold. There was huge lines of people waiting to get into the chapel. It was, you weren't hungry. You weren't tired. You weren't cold. It was like you could wait all day. Your legs weren't tired. It was the most incredible experience. You were just in the presence of God inside and outside the campus. There was thousands of people coming, hungry, hungry, hungry. It was the most encouraging experience for me to see so many people in America and other places that had come just to encounter Jesus. I think that was the most encouraging. That you just, you know, when you're in your little town, your little community, you don't really see, and then you hear all this bad news all the time on the on social media and the news. But when you went, but Asbury, thousands came out and they waited and they waited and they were praying for each other and they were worshiping, and the Salvation Army trucks were coming to feed people, and just the hunger of God that was there. It was the most glorious and wonderful 4 days. I can't even tell you how blessed I was to be there and experience the pureness, you know, being inside the chapel, there was no big band. It was, you know, just singers and guitar players, just a simple, pure worship, the focus on the Word of God, just the altar being open, just whoever wanted to come. The altar was open the whole time. Services were running. People were running to the altar, getting on their knees. Repentance, turning, honest, you know, confession, and just, it was beautiful. It was pure. It was holy. And my prayer is that it will continue to burn and all over this world, that there's more of that continuing all over, because it truly was. There are skeptics, you know, I heard people, you know, Jesus came, in my opinion, he just said, okay, y'all need help, I'm coming down. And he just came, and it was beautiful.
Yes.
It was beautiful. Yeah.
When I realized I could get it online, I played it continuously, because it was so, I could feel the Holy Spirit even through my computer. And the honesty and the reverence that these young people had for the Lord, and they were completely open in their confessions and completely honest. And I think that's what it was, the openness and the honesty with the Lord that brought the presence down. And it was just, even talking about it now, I'm getting chills. And I'm hearing that other kinds of revivals are happening, particularly with the young people. Particularly with the young people, because I think they desperately need an experience of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, to believe that it's real. It's not just it's not just something we do because we're Christians and that's it. It's real. The power is real.
Yes, yes. And, you know, that scripture makes me think of that scripture, one day in his courtyard is better than a thousand elsewhere. And what I was witnessing is these kids, you know, confessing, just being in bondage. They were in so much pain and bondage. And Jesus came and encountered them, and they were getting free. And you know what? One taste of that freedom, one, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's what was happening. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you, Sheila. The Lord is faithful. He will answer the prayers and the petitions of our hearts for our children, for the youth, and he will encounter them. Just like in, you know, and then here we got the Jesus Revival movie that piggybacked on that, right? Or was that before? I don't remember. But
it was around the same time.
And how he encountered back in those days the hippies, right? Well, it's like God comes. He comes. He rescues. He reveals himself. And it, oh, man, so beautiful.
Other thing that was remarkable was the degree and the amount of church hurt that these young people were confessing, the resentment and the hurt and the pain they had experienced through church environments, and asking for forgiveness for what they were holding against, really holding against God for that church hurt.
Yes.
That stunned me.
And seeing the pastors and like the professors standing up and confessing their lack of listening to the youth. Like there was a mutual, like, we haven't had it all together. Hey, will you forgive us for this church hurt? Coming from pastors that were there. That was beautiful, because there was a healing that was happening there. Between the younger generation and the older generation. It was beautiful. Yeah.
Well, and I think the younger people today are not going to want church the way we did it. I think they want something different. They want something more real. They want something that's powerful. And I've often felt that when we do our midweek Bible studies and the kids go off and watch cartoons, that that's a huge mistake. They need to be in praying and hearing the testimonies, praying for the adults and praying for each other. They need to just have that as like their pablum.
Yep, I totally agree. I completely agree. I think we've missed that. Yes, yes, exactly.
So praise God for Asbury, and praise you that you went, you experienced it, and you can carry the message back to those of us that didn't have that opportunity.
Yeah, and I you know, it's interesting. I recently found an Asbury Revival Facebook group. There's something like 48,000 members.
Wonderful.
And I know, it's really cool to see people are on there sharing their stories and praying for each other and trying to keep that alive and just really praying for God's Spirit to continue to move. It's kind of cool. I just stumbled on that.
Very cool. Yeah. Now, as a result of really your experience with Nate and his passing, you've started a new ministry in addition to Bridge of Hope, and it's a grief group. And is it just for women?
Yeah, well, it's called From Under His Wing, because that's really from where the Lord has met me and walked with me. I do predominantly work with women who've lost their children. Yes.
Is it online or is it in person?
It is actually, I have a couple women that I see in person, but we have a child loss group that meets on Zoom once a month, all really incredible women who love and trust Jesus and who have lost their children. And it is open, and we want to be there for other women and other moms who are going through this journey. So it is not like I don't have a website around it. I'm just available to pass that information on any way that, you know, you see fit. But I'm definitely open, and this is a passion of mine. We need to be together in community, sharing and holding each other up and encouraging each other on this journey. So, yeah.
So there's no website then for the grief group? It would be just a matter of Googling your name and then getting in contact through your Let's Connect.
Yes, or Bridge of Hope. So if somebody went to Bridge of Hope San Diego, the website there, you could reach out to me through there as well.
Okay.
And talk to me about, yeah, that's another way to get in touch with me. But it's definitely a need, and I welcome anybody who is in need for that kind of support.
Now, are there different stages and phases that people experience when they go through that kind of grieving?
Well, I think, you know, everybody is different, and that's the thing I just hope people recognize and have grace for one another. Everybody is different. Everybody grieves different. Everybody had a different relationship with the one that they lost. There is no textbook. There's no rules. You know, grief is love. And it's deep love that becomes deep grief. And so, you know, it's going to look different for every person. Obviously, in the beginning, when you lose a child or a loved one, you're ravaged and completely wrecked, where, you know, it's hard to eat, breathe, sleep. You know, you just, a bomb has gone off and parts of you are everywhere. You can't even think. But as time goes on, that pain, it becomes familiar to you. It never goes away, but you are now, it's part of you. And you can you live in it and understand it, and it becomes familiar, if that makes sense. So, but yeah, it's just everybody's going to be different and handle their grief differently. Trauma too, the trauma part of child loss is another thing. Trauma is not grief.
Mm-hmm.
All trauma has grief, but not all grief has trauma. So dealing, too, with the nervous system, that's a big part of my journey, is learning how to do that. And just, yeah, there's a lot of pieces and parts to walking the grief journey. But we
it
do need each other.
It sounds like it. Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah. You know, and I think our culture here in the U.S., people seem to have the mentality, well, it's been a year, you should be over it.
No, it's tragic.
And
it's
yeah,
really,
and
really
it doesn't allow people space and time and to follow their own journey through
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. We haven't done a great job. And I think now finally churches are kind of recognizing that they have not been able to really support well the grieving, I'll say the American church, those that are grieving and those
right.
who have experienced trauma. And I think there's some things that are beginning to change to recognize we really need to be better at this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes time and it takes community and it takes a lot of love.
Yeah.
Yeah,
praise God for the seedlings of change in that area.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I'm grateful. Yeah.
Well, Sherry, we have loved having you here. And is there some information you want to give our audience regarding contacting you and how to get your book?
Sure. Yeah. So my book is Relentless Pursuit, God's Gentle Guidance Amidst the Storm. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Also, if you want to reach out to me, our organization is called Bridge of Hope San Diego, and bridgeofhopesd.org is the website. You can reach me through there or Sherry, Sherry, at bridgeofhopesd.org. And please reach out. Feel free to, and I look
now,
forward
I've
to
heard
hearing
a,
from you.
I've heard a rumor that you have a blog. Is that through Bridge of Hope?
Well, I do. I have a little podcast that I'm doing
uh-huh.
around the book. And, yeah, and you can find that at sherrybriggs.com. Or it's on Apple Podcasts as well. But it's called Relentless Pursuit is the podcast. But you can find that, again, like on my – yeah, I have a website. I forgot. Sheila. People can find me there. Oh, my word. Isn't that funny? Yeah, you can just go to sherrybriggs.com. Forget all that
yeah.
other stuff.
We're looking at it right now, and I'm going, why isn't she
okay.
mentioning this? Why isn't she mentioning this?
I know. Oh, my gosh. I forgot I had that. Isn't that funny? Okay, that's how you can find me.
Well, thank you so much for your willingness and your openness. And I loved your book. I love all the ways, all the fruit that the Lord is really I want to say like sprouting in you, but that sounds kind of weird. But he is just using all of your experience to benefit others. And I just love that. I love seeing it, and I love hearing about it.
Well, thank you, Sheila. Can I say something about you? You
oh, dear.
Have been a faithful... faithful intercessor, a prayer warrior behind the scenes, and have prayed for me, my family, and our ministry for many, many, many years. And I cannot tell you how grateful I am. And at any time I need prayer, you're the first one I call because I know you will pray. And so thank you for your steadfast faithfulness to pray for me and others.
It's my great pleasure. I love praying for people. I'm like one of those... I just love it. It makes me happy.
I know you do. And that's a gift, and that is just a beautiful, beautiful thing, and I cannot tell you how thankful I am.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very, very sweet. Well, God bless you, Sherry, and thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.